And on Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, which is the beginning, growth, and endurance of the Christian life. Matthew has 5 disclosures in his gospel: Sermon on the Mount, commissioning of the apostles, parables of the kingdom, the childlikeness of the believer in Jesus' second coming. Sermon on the Mount consists of 3 components. The first one is Beatitudes, verses 1 through 12, chapter 5. And then the second one is Ethical Admonitions. It's chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Chapter 6, chapter 7, verse 23. And thirdly, the contrast is between Jesus' ethical teaching and Jewish traditions. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 48. Today we are covering a third of which are the Beatitudes. And these Beatitudes, as I have mentioned before, which is the beginning, growth, and endurance of the Christian life. Let's pray about it. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and just pray that you open our eyes and our ears to you and receive your word and be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. The overview of what I'm teaching this morning is the context. After Jesus' temptation, he called his disciples and healed the sick and heavy laden. He then later taught the disciples and the crowd that followed him blessings in salvation and righteous living. He continues to teach in ethical admonitions and contrasts his teaching and Jewish traditions. And this morning's sermon is in 4 parts. The first one, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, compassion for the multitudes and his disciples. So he sat down to teach them. And then Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, is the regeneration, a call to salvation, a light to see the sin in us, and mourning for our sins, for his love is great. And Matthew chapter 5, verses 5 through 9, is the fruit of the Spirit. Knowing and feeling his love brings humility for a yearning for God's goodness. Being pure in heart, making peace, glorifying God the Father. And number 4, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, is persecution and rejoicing in the heavenly reward. Being persecuted and slandered for right living in God. But great is the reward in heaven for living a godly life. So let's begin. The first 2 verses. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. These 2 verses are an example of Jesus' merciful compassion to the multitudes and his disciples by sitting down and teaching them, so the many can find the light to see and feel freedom and comfort in Jesus. A teacher with love that is divine, that no other teacher has here on earth. A supreme and enduring love of Christ. And then we're down to number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are those who are convicted, seeing how they fall short of God's glory and feeling naked as Adam and Eve did when they ate the fruit of the forbidden tree in the garden, and their eyes opened, they were brought low and needy. Trying to cover themselves with branches and leaves, and needing a covering for their shameful guilt. The feeling of unworthiness and having nothing to pay for their transgressions. But in the Father's love, He forgave and clothed them in sheepskin through a sacrifice of a sheep, the first sacrificial atonement. This we do when the sins committed and conviction becomes too great to bear, needing a place of comfort and solitude, to turn to Jesus in humility for the forgiveness of our sins. In this, we are blessed by true repentance from sins and transgressions. And this repentance is ongoing through our lives to the end of life here on earth. Looking to see how we fail to glorify the Lord daily, but in complete repentance is a blessing on us, for we continually turn to Him for forgiveness and comfort. With that said, in my own experience, before I was saved, I was brought low through sin and transgressions in my own life. Brought so low that I started reading God's Word and praying that morning, saying that I will go to this church and hear His Word. And how am I going to take it in? I don't know. But if I take it in good, and it's good, I'll stay and learn more about You. And so I did. And then that's how poor in spirit I was. And I was blessed by His Word. So with that saying, I have a verse out of James chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He has promised to those who love Him? And we're down to number 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those who mourn are they who, realizing their shortcomings of being right with God, because of their sins committed in thought, speech, or actions, this realization brings a deplorable feeling of emptiness and mourning over the sins committed daily. The feeling of failure to glorify God, a godly grief over sin, for sin or sins, and in confession and repentance of sins, that steadfast love of God is comforting. This scene of mourning in spirit has a dark feeling of loneliness, wretchedness, and in grief over our sins, and our lack of spiritual rightness, and depletion of goodness. We call on the Lord in repentance, and through His forgiveness, we get back on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. Makes being in God's presence all the more pleasant and merry, with a godly adoration for His grace, mercy, and steadfast love, with much blessings as He wills it. Who can dislodge the godly comfort and blessing of God? God's mighty power and love is formidable and steadfast. If you believe in Jesus Christ, who paid a debt for all of our sins, and here's another word out of the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. As it is, I rejoice not because you were grieved, but you were grieved into repenting. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves. What indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter. Now we're down to number 5. Or verse number 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek are humble, gentle, and patient. Gentle and patient Christian. In humility and a gentle spirit puts up with many things that come at him through love and stands his ground for the Lord with little honor. Reflecting Christ Jesus. Being the true Christian and patiently waiting for Jesus' second coming to inherit the earth. This worldly pushing and pulling through media is of the evil one to disturb our lives, but remaining in God's providence helps in hope and enduring to inherit the earth at His second coming. A patient, humble servant, enduring things in this life, yet looking to God in everything. This discipleship true to Christ is meekness. And from Scripture, it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And we got Psalms 37, 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. And down to verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness live to honor Christ by imitating Him, seeking the goodness of God in fear of Him, so that any corrupt thought or speech is null. Gazing upon His righteousness daily and striving to be as He is in spirit. This hunger and thirst for right living is rewarded with contentment, not in worldly riches, but contentment in His righteousness that surpasses everything here, this time and forevermore. As in my youth, I saw how the poor on the reservation received the word and were happy after attending a church near my mom's home. At that time, I was not saved, but wondered why they were so happy after hearing the word of God. God's blessing comes in His righteousness and not in the worldly riches. This fear, with fear, seek and submit to righteousness and be satisfied in His blessings. And there's two more from Scripture, which is Psalms 145, 19 and 20. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. And Romans 10:3. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. We're down to verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Having mercy with patient love and understanding for those who are lost and entrapped by the sins of this world. Because some of us have been through the troubles they are experiencing, and some of us have not. But that does not make us undefiled and destitute, but we just need to get wisdom from God to be the loving Christian. See Jesus' example. When He is reclining at the table, eating and drinking with the sinners and tax collectors, And Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous but sinners. Matthew 9, chapter 9, verse 12. To be merciful is to be compassionate and loving in gentleness and kindness, sympathetic to the downcast from sin or sorrows of this world, being the comforter in times of spiritual distress or turmoil, and encouraging the brother or sister in time of need and comfort. In merciful deeds, they will be rewarded abundantly in virtues that we cannot fathom. James chapter 2, verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to one who shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Turn down to verse number 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart live by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In this they are blameless, speaking the truth and doing what is right before God. Purity in heart are the eyes that shall see God. Out of the abundance of the fruit of the Spirit is the heart is made pure and right with God. In my own opinion, this purity will beget insight to God when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, such as scripture as in Stephen, Acts chapter 7, 54 through 60. In his purity, while being stoned to death, he saw Jesus and says, Lord, do not hold the sin against them. Just seeing God smile on you as a father is a blessing, and to God be the glory evermore, forevermore. Psalm 15:2. He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speak truth in his heart. And then 1 Samuel 16, chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. In verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. A peacemaker is a loving Christian, one who teaches the gospel, knowing the love of God is beyond our knowledge, bringing peace in the fullness of God, being led by the Spirit of God to be called sons of God, be imitating Christ as children, and be called sons or daughters of God. Learn and understand so we can be peaceful and tell others of how good and gracious, merciful Lord God Jesus is. As we seek righteousness, being needy in spirit, mourning over our sins, let us look to Jesus for peace and comfort, and put into practice from experience to be peacemakers and be called sons or daughters of God. As you walk with the Lord, reflecting and imitating Him, people will notice, and some may come and ask you why you are happy and content in this time of the pandemic. This is when you proclaim the gracious and merciful God, who is Jesus, and be the peacemaker as the Lord blesses. Remember, knowing our loving God will give you the boldness, the words to say at the time, and be in readiness in season and out of season. In James chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, but the wisdom is from above, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Then we're down to the last three verses. 10, 11, and 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your word is great, for your reward is great in heaven, so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Those who live a rightful, godly life and reflecting Christ's righteousness will be reviled, slandered, ostracized, abused, and mistreated. This is persecution for the righteous who have a godly living, proclaiming the gospel and honoring Christ Jesus as Lord. Remember this to be a momentary worldly affliction that is just for a moment of time. So be steadfast in His righteousness and proclaim His gospel. To inflict peace. With that said, I can relate to one being persecuted where I was working at a shop and I'm playing my radio, listening to 107.1 Christian, listening to it every day. The guy next to me, non-believer, he hated that. So I went to go get my parts from the parts department. I went over there, got my stuff, went back to my toolbox, and I found that my radio has been thrown across the shop because he didn't want to hear God's word. That is persecution. And then he said that I play my radio too loud. So we almost got to the point where we didn't have no radios anymore in our shop. But eventually things worked out to where we still could listen to our radio at a toned down pace. So be glad and rejoice, for your reward in heaven is far greater than the goodness, riches, and comfort of this world. So I say, Lord Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. For those who are destitute in spirit, this is the church to be at to receive salvation in the Lord. I ask that you get with the elders or deacons of this church for further assistance. May the Lord guide you. Psalm 37:12. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. And James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and just pray for your word to penetrate our hearts and that we carry it and glorify you in it. May we bold with that too. In Jesus' name, amen.